Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
First up is the Milton Berle Show. Milton Berle didn't have a lot of success in radio, but he was Mr. Television just a few years after this show aired. This show aired in 1947. Let's give it a listen. This is called Salute to Washington, D.C.
Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all...
Oh, Philip Morris!
From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Fred Kelton, Jack Albertson, Mary Schiff, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, Johnny Gibson, Frank Milano, our singing star Dick Farney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallagher. Ladies and gentlemen.
Great ad-libbing.
Last week, elections were held all over the country.
That's right.
Hundreds of candidates fought to win seats. We now bring you a comedian who has spent months exercising, trying to lose his. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, I'm shocked.
I really am.
Calling me fat. I'm flabbergasted. I'm positively flabbergasted.
You're flabbergasted?
Yes, you guessed it. I'm pretty flabber. Flabbergasted. Oh, Berle, how can one man have so much talent and not a shred of personality?
Wait till I catch the guy who sold me that joke. I'll tear off his apron and hit him over the head with the chicken he's cleaning.
Mr. Gallup, let us not...
Good, we got the band tonight. Let us...
We got them tonight, but not after December 30th. Mr. Gallup, let us not give the listeners... The wrong impression of me. I heard what you said about, the comedian spent months exercising.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Gallup, a good description of me is to say that I'm a little hippie.
A better description, I think, is to say you're a big hippo. A big hippo! Oh, Gallup, how can you be so funny and still be such an utter square?
Schmo is the word. Mr. Gallup, please, would you do me a favor and save that boppo material for when we're back on sustaining? Which may be any minute. Johnny, have you heard anything? Never mind. What were we talking about?
Oh, it was something devastatingly dull.
You. Oh, yes, me, yes. It was my weight, Mr. Gallup. Really, Mr. Gallup, I have been trying to keep my weight down.
But why must you keep it all down in the same place? Oh, my word, that was a jolly one.
That was jazzy, wasn't it?
I topped you again, didn't I, Berle?
Yes, you topped me?
Yes.
Milton Berle, you want fat jokes? Oh, fat jokes. Let's see. File F. Okay. Are you listening? Are you ready? Stand back. Here he comes. All the fat jokes. My girl is so fat, she has to put starch in her cold cream to keep her face from slipping down into her lap. Boing. Another one. She's so fat, store detectives are always searching her. They don't believe all those bumps are hers. Boing. That joke will put radio where vaudeville is. We grew up together. I grew up and she grew sideways. No. Hey, well, Mr. Gallup, have you had enough? Have you?
Ladies and gentlemen, the preceding jokes just expressed by Mr. Berle are not necessarily his own.
Not necessarily his own. Swap jokes with Berle. Let me repeat that.
Why, you unfunny amateur. With one joke, I can top everything you've said tonight.
One joke you can say and I'll top it. Go ahead.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Are you listening?
I am on the beam.
Stand back. Oh. Here it comes.
Let's hear it.
What a blow for Princess Elizabeth.
Mr. Gallup, let me tell you, for 4 weeks, you've been telling that same line.
Burl, someday that joke will be bigger than Hugo. Hugo, you got the shoes on.
Well, it could be. And when it does, I hope I've got plenty of Airwick ready. But enough of this murder. Enough of this hilarious auditioning. Tonight, we take up elections and politics. So let us salute the cradle of American politics, Washington, D.C. Washington, heart of the nation. Washington, home of the Supreme Court, the Senate, and Eastern headquarters of Howard Hughes. Beautiful, picturesque Washington, cooled in the summer by the breezes of the Potomac, warmed in winter by the hot air from Congress. So come with me. Won't you? Won't you? Come with me on a sightseeing bus tour of our nation's capital. Ah, here comes a bus now. All right, let us board the bus, and we are off as the driver starts up the mighty motor. And here is our first stop, the House of Representatives. Ah, we're just in time to see a congressman pass a bill. Listen.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
That was Bill he just passed. And we continue on down famous Avenue K, named after Danny. And from here, we turn down Philadelphia Avenue, named after cream cheese. And we find ourselves on famous Pennsylvania Avenue, named after a polka. To our left is the president's home, the White House. We stop. Perhaps the first family is at home tonight. The window is open. Listen. They're home. We'll drop back later when they're not so busy. And boarding our sturdy little bus, we wait as our burly driver starts up the powerful engine. Well, here we are inside the famous United States Mint, named after a julep. The men employed here in the Mint go through the most thorough examinations for honesty, integrity, and complete faithfulness. Ah, here comes a trustworthy employee now. He beckons to us.
Pardon me, friend. Could I interest you in a brand new $5 bill for only $1?
$5 bill for only $1. How can you do it?
Confidentially, they're seconds. It's a clearance sale.
A clearance sale on $5 bills?
Yeah, we run off a bad batch. Lincoln's picture come out upside down.
Upside down?
Mm-hmm. The beard is now eyebrows. Lincoln looks like John L. Lewis.
And when we refuse to buy the fin, he gives us the fish eye. And we continue on our way down Hoover Boulevard, named after a vacuum cleaner. And here we are at the White House again. Perhaps if they're not busy, we can go in and visit. Still busy. We'll be back. We continue down Adams Street, named after a hat, as our faithful bus starts off with a roar. And here we are in front of the most famous of all landmarks, the Washington Monument. Towering majestically 200 feet in the sky, it reminds us of the day it was unveiled, when a disappointed senator from New Jersey made that world-famous statement. He said,
Washington Monument doesn't look a bit like him.
You know, it doesn't. Ah, let us hurry back to the White House. Look, the window is still open.
Father, I haven't finished. You said this was my night at the piano. Please, Father. Ah, Father!
And as the beautiful strains of the Missouri Waltz come floating out of the White House and the Secret Service men dance with each other on the front lawn, we reluctantly leave this merry group and say farewell to Washington. Farewell, Washington, D.C. D.C., named after an electric current.
Memphis, Tennessee, Buffalo, New York, Denver, Colorado, Portland, Oregon. Yes, from all over the country, there's news, big news. Listen.
From section after section, eminent nose and throat specialists report that the cigarette they suggest in cases of irritation due to smoking is Philip Morris.
Yes, these top-ranking nose and throat specialists actually suggest Philip Morris because they know Philip Morris is the one, the only leading cigarette prove definitely less irritating.
Remember, the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. After all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Thank you, thank you. That was Love is Sweeping the Country, and the country sweeping it right back to the city, played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, let me say, your music is always soothing, like frozen custard. Comes out smooth and leaves you cold. Comes out smooth and leaves you... All right. I could use three more fat jokes here. And now, as we continue... I wish I was going with Hope to England. And now as we continue... What a blow to Princess Elizabeth. Why, as we continue our salute to the great game of politics, we present...
Political Forum tonight. Political Forum tonight. The question, should we have a third party now or wait until New Year's Eve?
Yes, sir, there will be a slight pause for joke identification. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Now, let us commence with our forum and questions from the audience. Let's start with this gentleman in the aisle teaching his wife how to drive. Yes, sir?
Mr. Merrill, I'm from the Democratic Party.
Yes?
We feel you are the one to pull us to victory in 48.
I will pull you to victory. The Democrats want a new candidate.
The Democrats want a new donkey.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure I would prove an asset. But let us go on.
Oh, that's a honey. I love you, man.
All right, this young man here in the monogram toupee... you standing on your knees? No. This young man, what is your name?
My name is Stanislaus Bublyantovich.
Stanislaus Bublyantovich?
That's just my business name.
I see. What's your real name?
The Smiling Irishman.
All right, Madman Munts. You have a question about politics.
Why, you running for president or something?
No, but we
boy,
have
in this country, anyone can be a candidate, even you.
No, look,
what do
not...
you got for your running mate, Lassie?
Now,
I
wait a minute.
I wouldn't vote for you if you was running for garbage inspector.
But I don't know.
A vote for Burles, a vote for dirty subways, gambling, bookies, wide open burlesque houses, down with Burles.
I didn't
a
say...
A vote for Burles, a vote for depression, no chicken, not even a pot, down with Burles.
Please,
I... Ah, your father's ballot.
Please, let's not get excited. Let's not too much noise. Just laughs. Let's hear from the fairer sex. All right, this lady in the third row basting a chuck roast. What is your name, please?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question that has to do with politics?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from hanging around City Hall? He's a waste pest and them pigeons.
Your husband hangs around City Hall?
Politicians give him jobs. For a while, he worked for the Board of Health. He was a restaurant inspector.
He was a restaurant inspector?
He used to go back in the kitchen and stick his foot in the mashed potatoes.
Mrs. Feeney, that's how he inspected mashed potatoes?
Yeah, if he didn't stub his toe on something, he okayed it.
That's terrible, sticking his foot in mashed potatoes.
He took his shoe off first.
Oh.
You think he is a slob or something?
No, no. Well, that's different.
Once they give him a job as a dog catcher. But it was too confusing for the other dog catcher.
It was confusing?
It was always catching him.
Wait a minute, they thought he was a dog? Why, that's terrible.
No, it was kind of cute. At night he used to come trotting home with a newspaper in his mouth.
Oh, that is cute.
They finally made him a cop.
He was a policeman, huh?
For 2 years he was on the force. You should see the way his feet flattened out.
They're bad?
It's terrible when he steps out of the shower and slaps those big flat feet down on the wet tile floor.
What happened?
I gotta come in and rock him a little to break the suction.
Mrs. Feeney, you have your troubles.
My worries are over. The city's taking care of him good now.
What is he doing?
Time.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you very much. Now, as a fitting conclusion to our political forum tonight, we are very privileged to present a true politician, none other than that two-fisted, hard-hitting, fighting senator from the West, Big Ed Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Featherfield. Senator Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. May I take this golden opportunity to thank my many constituents who, through rain or shine, have always been behind me and supported me where I needed it most.
Well, tell us, Senator.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down?
You want to sit down?
I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way over, I picked up a caterpillar off the sidewalk. I think I strained myself.
But a caterpillar isn't heavy.
This one had just eaten.
Oh. Well, Senator, tell me, how did you ever get into politics?
My wife insisted. She gave me a hand.
She gave you a hand?
Across the mouth.
Your wife helped you in your campaign?
Oh, yes. In the last election, she carried half of Dallas County.
She did?
Yeah, but they made her put it down.
Oh, I see. You're very fooling tonight, really. Your wife is a very big woman, eh?
Big?
Yeah.
Whenever it's roundup time in Texas, she comes home branded.
Branded?
Oh, what a bum steer I got.
Good, you're laughing at your own. Senator, you mean your wife mistreats you?
Well, now, don't get her wrong, Mr. Burrell.
No?
When she shellacked me last night, I had it coming.
You were bad again.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, Senator, what did you do?
Well, last night...
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't be
talking. Oh, go ahead.
Last night, I left the room while we had company.
You left the room? What's wrong with that?
You don't understand. I forgot to raise my hand.
Getting back to political campaign, Senator, when was the first time you ran?
The day after I got married.
What did you run for?
My life.
Thank you, Senator Featherfield. Thank you. Yes, sir. And here is our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing The Best Things in Life Are Free.
The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine, and love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free. The moon belongs to best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine, and love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free.
Gee, kid, you're getting to be a regular Lucy Monroe. Say, Mr. Gallup, our show is about elections tonight. Did you know that I once ran for public office?
How interesting.
You've been sitting out there with the audience?
It is interesting, isn't it?
It was just about a year ago.
What happened?
What happened? Did you say what happened?
Burl, at this point, I'll say anything to try to save the show.
That's a nice try. Too bad you missed. Stand by for the giant jackpot. Anyway, here's what happened. It was about the election. It was just before the elections, and my wife and I were sitting home reading the evening newspapers.
Listen to this, Milton. It says Alderman Julius Blythe is running for re-election in our ward.
Now, darling, you know I don't pay any attention to politics.
Well, this year you will. You're in for a surprise.
Surprise? Wait a minute. I didn't like that laugh. The last time you laughed like that, your mother showed up to live with us. Now tell me, what's going on?
You'll find out. Sam Harrison and his wife Martha are coming over tonight to tell you about it.
Oh, no, not that cornball, Sam Harrison. That's Sam. Come in.
Hi, Milty. Buenas noches and noches to you. Yeah, you're home tonight, so I said, let's go over and spring the big surprise on Milty. That's just what I said, isn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Martha. Sam, tell me, what's the big surprise?
Milty, you know I'm chairman of the League of Indignant Voters Against Alderman Glides. Martha is head of the Speaker's Bureau, aren't you, Martha?
Yes.
Sounds like it'll be a quiet campaign. Sam, tell me, what's the surprise?
Milty, this year we're putting up a candidate who is sure to beat Clyde.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
Now, look, Sam, I don't want to be alderman.
Milton Berle, the 8th Ward, is crying for you. You're the perfect candidate.
Sam.
There isn't a blemish on your character. Your home life is ideal.
Sam.
You're a magnificent speaker, a statesman.
Sam.
Milty, you're a born leader. You have tact, humility, graciousness.
Oh, Sam.
For the men voters, you're a man's man, a two-fisted fighter.
Sam.
For the women voters, you're handsome, suave, fascinating.
Oh, Sam.
You represent the glamour of show business, yet you have the common touch.
Oh, stop it, Sam. You're terrible.
Really?
Milton, you must run. Just think, I'll be the first lady of the 8th Ward.
Yes.
Your campaign is going great.
Sam, please, for 2 weeks I've done nothing but kiss babies. My face is full of holes. I keep forgetting to take the lollipops out of their mouths.
Milty, we got Glyze on the run. That reminds me. Say, Martha?
Yes?
Doesn't Glyze speak on the radio tonight?
Yes.
Let's listen to him just for laughs.
What can he possibly have to say? Turn it on.
And here is Alderman Glyze.
Citizens! I wish to one question. Milton Berle, isn't it a fact that you are known in the underworld as Pipkin the Pooch? Wanted in 6 states for dope smuggling?
Pipkin the Pooch?
Laugh at him, Milty.
He must be drunk.
And further... more citizens. remember my slogan. There ain't no flies on Julius Glies. Good night.
Oh, wait till I see those reporters. They'll be here any minute.
Reporters?
Yes.
Quick, let's get some of your campaign pictures hung up.
Here's the picture, Milton.
Oh, no, darling, not that picture. That's from my high school graduation.
Well, it was the only one we could find where your tongue wasn't out.
Here, I'll get up on the chair. Hand me the picture.
Here.
Now, give me the hammer.
Here.
Oops, watch out!
Ow!
Oh, darling, I'm sorry. It slipped. Sam, do something.
What do you know? Hit her right on the head, didn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Do something! Oh, no, the reporters.
Oh, my head!
Martha and I'll bandage up your wife's head. Come along.
Take good care of her, will you, Sam? Oh, brother, come in.
Earl, are you Pipkin the Pooch?
Are you wanted for dope running?
Now, gentlemen, it is indeed laughable.
Where's your wife?
Well, they're putting a bandage on her head. She was hit by a hammer. Gentlemen, it is indeed laughable.
Who held the hammer?
Well, I did.
What a story!
Yeah.
Hold the presents!
Now, wait a minute. It was an accident. The hammer slipped.
It is indeed laughable. It's laughable.
Citizens, I say and I repeat, any man who beats his wife over the head with a hammer is a fiend.
It slipped. What did I crawl into this time?
Oh, Milton, isn't it exciting? Look at my picture with my bandaged head in all the newspapers.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Look what it says over the picture. Burl did this. Will you be next? This is awful.
Come in. Why, it's two men with long beards, Milton.
Beards?
Quick, let us in.
Who are you behind that beard?
It's me, Sam.
Oh, and this must be...
Yes.
Wait a minute. What's the idea?
We can't afford to be recognized as friends of yours.
Sam.
Quiet. The first returns must be in.
Here are the first returns for the race for Alderman. Julius Glies, 9,676. Milton Berle, alias Pipkin the Pooch, three.
Three? My mother must have voted three times.
Berle, my organization is pulling out. We can't afford to be connected with a wife beater.
Wait a minute, Sam, where are you going?
To vote for Julius Glies.
Yes.
Where's the phone? Maybe I can resign or something.
Here are the latest returns. Glies, 66,465. Berle, two.
Who? Somebody took back their vote. Oh, this is... Darling, wait a minute. Where are you going with that suitcase?
Oh, home to mother. I refuse to live with a wife beater.
The hammer slipped. It slipped.
Attention. An unusual event has taken place in the race for Alderman. During the day, when the women were voting, Glies piled up a great lead. But when the men came home from work and learned that Burr was a wife beater, they ran to the polls and voted solidly for him. The result... Glies, 75,000. Burl, 250,000. Burl is our new alderman.
I'm the alderman. It slipped. I'm an alderman. I have no friends, no home, no nothing. What I ought to do is shoot myself.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. I'll be back in just a minute. In the meantime...
Remember this. You're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why.
First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos. Mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating.
Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
Thank you very much. This is your girlfriend, Milton, wishing Bob a bon voyage. Good night, everyone.
Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Morris. Call for Philip Morris.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station, when Philip Morris will again present the Milton Berle Show. Until then...
Hello.
Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. The Milton Berle Show was written by Nat Hyken and Aaron Rubin. This is Frank Allen saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Now it's time for the Baby Snooks Show, and Daddy's old flame, I'll bet Snooks has some connection with getting Daddy in trouble. Let's see how it all turns out.
You know, when you've been married a long time, as have Daddy and Mummy Higgins, the little daily habits of your life partner will sometimes get on your nerves. That is the way it is with Mummy this morning. She's a little out of sorts, and she gives Daddy an annoyed glare as he sits at the breakfast table, reading his newspaper and crunching his toast.
Manslaughter. Huh? Every single morning you munch your toast and read your newspaper. Can't you do anything different?
Different? Well, I could munch my newspaper and read my toast.
Very funny. Honestly, Lancelot, your manners in general are becoming deplorable. The way you embarrassed me last night at the Kunkels when they passed the taffy.
Embarrassed you?
Lancelot, if one doesn't like taffy, one throws it away. One doesn't wrap it in one's handkerchief.
One does if one's bridge work is stuck in it. Vera, why are you picking on me?
Oh, it's these irritating things you do.
Listen, you didn't mind my habits when you married me 20 years ago. In fact, as I remember, you were pretty happy when you snagged me away from little Lila May Cornwall.
Lila May Cornwall, you're always throwing that woman's name up to me, and I'm getting sick of it. You should have married that stupid-faced hussy.
Listen, Lila May was a sweet girl. Besides that, she had a beautiful face and a gorgeous figure.
Well, then why did you marry me?
Because you were different. There was something different about you that I...
I know very well what you mean. You think you'd been better off if you'd have married Lila May.
That's not true. Our marriage has been wonderful.
Well, you're not happy.
I've never been happier in my life.
It would have served you right if you had married that southern hussy. She probably turned out to be a nag. She always did have a mean streak in her.
Mean streak? That's not true. Don't you remember when her father had his leg broken? She went to work and supported him?
Well, why not? She was the one that broke it.
You know very well it was an accident that she tripped him.
That's right. Go ahead and defend her. All you've ever done since we've been married is to hold her up as an example of what a wife should be.
Well, she probably could set an example for you. At least she'd have been twice as understanding as you are. Oh, I'm going to work. Goodbye.
Well, that does it. I'm going to blow up Lancelot's illusion about that woman once and for all. And I know just how to do it. She's probably fat and homely by now. Yes. Yes, Lila May Cornwell is going to be invited here for a little visit.
Never took me to a railroad station before.
Yeah, yeah. Let's sit over here where we'll be able to see Miss Cornwall's train arrive.
Why is she coming to visit us, Daddy?
Oh, because of a silly plan your mother has in mind. She hopes Lila May will have developed into a sharp-tongued hag. And that'll make me keep my mouth shut about her from now on. Oh, I can see right through your mother.
Oh, gee, maybe she ought to wear a petticoat.
I didn't mean it that way. Your mother shouldn't do a thing like this. It's ridiculous. Your mother loves me.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
I mean, it's a ridiculous thing asking Lila May here for a visit. Just to show her up to me. After all, I love your mother.
Did you almost marry Lila May instead of Mommy, Daddy?
Yes.
Is it?
But it's a long story.
I want to hear the story. I want to hear it, Daddy.
Well, all right. This time before Lila's train comes in. Ah, look, this goes back to when your daddy was a young and handsome man.
Boy, this goes back a big long way, doesn't it?
I was the most dashing bachelor in Birmingham. In fact, on Sundays, I put on my long pinstripe coat and top hat. And when I walk along the street, all the girls would turn and look at me. It was obvious why.
Yes? You forgot your pants.
Stop interrupting me. So being handsomer than any young swain in town, it was natural that I was after Lila May, who was the prettiest girl. And believe me, I was courting her with gusto.
Who did she like? Did she look better than?
Who did she look better than who?
Balled up in the line. Who did she like better?
Like better?
Yeah, who did she like better? You or Gusto?
Oh, stop with those silly interruptions. One night at a masquerade party, well, it was given for a new girl who had just moved into town.
Uh-huh.
That girl was going to be your mother.
Already?
Ah, I'll never forget it. I was standing by the punch bowl drinking a glass of punch when the time came to unmask. The moment I saw your mother's face, something happened inside of me.
You got sick to your stomach?
No, no. Your mother was very attractive. As I offered her a glass of punch, a little voice inside me said, "That is the woman for you."
Who is the little voice?
It wasn't anybody.
Maybe it was Gusto.
The voice didn't belong to any person. It was just an imaginary voice that I thought I heard.
You heard an imaginary voice?
Yes. Now, is there anything else you want to know?
Yeah. What was in that punch?
The point is that I felt I was in love with your mother.
Uh-huh.
However, I wanted to make sure, so I went out with Lila May, too.
Yeah?
Well, those two women practically fought over me. Each of them wanted to marry me more than anything else. And small wonder.
Yeah, because you were the handsomer than any young swine in town.
Swain. Well, that's about the whole story. Your mother got me and Lila didn't. It was just a case of luck.
Yeah, Lila May was lucky all right.
Oh, is that so, Smarty? Anyway, I've been a very good husband to your mother, and we've been very happy.
Yeah?
Why, certainly. I've given your mother affection, a nice home, nice clothes to wear, and in return, she's given me children. Boy, what a dirty end of the deal I got. Well, come on, let's go out on the station platform. Lila's about due.
All right, Daddy. Oh, boy. Look at all the trains, Daddy. Is that Lila's train over there?
No, that's a mail train.
How can you tell?
Don't be silly. There's different kinds of trains. That one's for mail, that one over there is for baggage. And that one there is a milk train.
A milk train?
Yes.
Let's milk it.
Don't be absurd.
I want to milk the train.
Now stop it!
Daddy.
Now let me find. Say, isn't that the super chief over there? Yeah, that is Lila's train. Come on.
Daddy, you seem kind of nervous.
Well, who wouldn't be? Meeting an old girlfriend I haven't seen for 25 years.
What would she look like, Daddy?
Oh, I'm afraid very much like your mother expects. Lila always did have a tendency to be plump. She's probably spread all over the place by now. So just look for an old hen.
Lancelot! Oh, Lancelot! Ooh, I'm over here!
That's Lila's voice. Oh, there she is at the other end of the platform. Holy mackerel!
Yeah, and your hen turned out to be a chicken.
Yeah, look at those drumsticks. Smokes, I think your mother is going to be in for a big surprise. Just sit down and make yourself at home, Lila. Vera should be back any minute.
Oh, Lancelot, I'm so happy to see you again after all these years. You know, you're just as handsome as ever.
Lila, you'd say so even if you didn't think so.
Yeah, and he'd think so even if you didn't say so.
Well,
Oh, don't scold the lion slut. She shown up is the dullest little girl.
I shown up is.
That'll do, Snoke. Oh, Lila, talking to you again brings back old memories. We really did some crazy things together, didn't we?
Oh, yes. Remember that party when you drank the champagne out of my slipper?
Yeah, remember how I choked? You'd left a Blue Jay corn plaster in there.
Oh, Lancelot, your laugh is just the same as it used to be years ago. Your teeth even flash the same way.
Same flash. Different teeth.
No, why don't you run outside and play?
I don't want to go outside and play.
Then just be quiet. Ah, yes, Lila. Those parties were really something.
Oh, I'll say. Remember that joke we always used to tell together?
What was that?
Well, I'd say, Lancelot, I just love southern chitlins.
Oh, yes. And I'd say, boy chitlins or girl chitlins?
I think I'll go outside and play.
Anyway, I'll run along.
Bye, Daddy. Goodbye, Miss Cornball.
That's Cornwall. Run along. Oh, some kid, that is, Lila. Annoying, but I love her.
Yes. You seem to be very happily married, Lancelot.
Oh, I am. But tell me about yourself, Lila. Did you ever get married?
No, I didn't, Lancelot. I guess I should have married you when I had the chance. You were such a romantic man. Yeah. Remember that time in school? You had me meet you one night behind the handball court. Oh, how bright and clear the moon shone down on the court. And there we were. Do you remember, Lancelot?
How could I forget? I beat you 21-7.
Oh. I don't mean that. You kissed me for the first time.
Lila, you're standing awful close.
The kiss was a little bit like this.
Lila.
There. That was just the old time, Saint. Well, now I'll run along upstairs and unpack. See you later, Cone Poo.
Hello, Daddy.
Huh? Snooks, how long have you been standing there? Did you see,
Some kissing, huh? Come on.
Snooks, this was all a mistake.
I bet that's what Mommy will say when I tell her.
Oh,
yes.
Well, say, Snooks.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
I see you have a most attractive house guest.
That's Lila May, but she ain't a house guest. She's Daddy's old girlfriend.
Your Daddy's old girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
That must be nice for your mommy.
Oh, it's nice for my daddy, too. Mommy says Lila May is the girl my daddy should have married.
Uh-oh, I think your daddy's in trouble.
Uh-oh, I think you're right.
Now, look, Snooks, there must be something I can do to help your daddy out of this tight spot. This calls for action.
Yeah, let's give him a tum.
You mean he's suffering acid indigestion? Mommy Higgins. She invited Daddy's old flame, Lila May Cornwall, for a visit, figuring Lila would be fat and homely by now. Ah, but Lila turned out to still be quite an eyeful, and now Mommy is really unhappy. And to make matters worse, Snooks walked in on Daddy receiving a friendly kiss from Lila. Well, here's a worried Daddy working on Snooks a short time later.
Snooks, listen to me.
I'm listening.
How about that kiss? Don't you see, sometimes something you see isn't what you saw at all, but only what you thought you saw. And what you thought you saw, you really didn't see because you were only seeing what you thought you saw. Do you understand?
Do you?
Certainly. Well, maybe I could explain it better. What I mean is, Well, for instance, did you think I was kissing Miss Cornwall?
Yeah. Who do you think you were kissing?
That's not what I mean. The point is that you're wrong. You see, I wasn't kissing her. She was kissing me. There's a big difference. Now do you understand?
Yeah. Say, Daddy, I wasn't in school today.
What? Did you play hooky again?
Oh, no. I was around. The screw never showed up.
Very funny. But it's not the same at all. Miss Cornwall kissed me because she hadn't seen me in years. And once she used to feel that way about me.
What way?
The way your mummy feels about me.
You mean Miss Cornwall couldn't stand to eat it?
Oh, stop. Your mummy loves me, and I love your mummy. Why, we're crazy about each other.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, and you drove each other that way, huh?
Be quiet. The point is, we do love each other. And your seeing Miss Cornwall give me that harmless, friendly kiss could start trouble between us.
Oh, I see. You don't want me to snitch on you.
Oh, don't be silly. I just think it would be better for all concerned if you kept your mouth closed.
Why?
I just told you why. Who have we been talking about? Who'd misunderstand the whole thing? Who'd get wild with anger at me? Who, in a stupid rage, might do something to wreck our entire lives? Who, out of her mind with jealousy, might resort to some desperate measure? Who, I'm asking you, who? What are you laughing about?
It ain't me.
Of course it ain't. I mean, it isn't. It's Mummy. Now, are you going to keep your mouth closed about that kiss?
Yeah. What do you give me if I do?
Good heavens. Now you've become a blackmailer. All right, here's a dime. Well, let's keep your mouth closed.
Well, it's still open and a little on one side.
Very well. Here's a quarter.
Yeah, that closed it up all right.
Good. Then it's settled.
Daddy?
Yes?
I can still talk through my nose.
What?
Sorry, but that's how it is.
All right. How much will it take to keep your nose closed?
One or two nostrils.
Oh, what's the difference?
Well, if you only take one, the nose could still leak out.
I'll take them both. How much?
Well, my left nostril is a quarter, and my right one is 35 cents.
Well, when is the right one more expensive than the left one?
It ain't stuffed up.
Oh, fine. Well, now I trust you are satisfactorily bought off, and you'll not breathe a word of any of this to your mummy?
No, Daddy, I won't.
All right, then. Beat it.
Goodbye, Daddy.
Snooks, what are you doing in the kitchen?
Oh, just sniffing around, Mummy.
Oh, you sure you're being a good girl?
Oh, sure. I'm being so good, I may even sprout wings like a little bit of angel.
Well, that's a sweet thought.
Yeah. Then I'll be able to fly around and drop rocks on people's heads.
Oh, fine. Well, I better attend to that fancy dinner we're having for that friend of ours, Lila Mae Cornwall. I think I'll take a look at those five squabs I have in the oven.
Oh, the five squabs are fine, Mommy. I just looked at them. They're fine. All four of them.
Now I know I better look at them.
I think I'll go and play with Harvey Kunkel next door.
Just a minute. You stay right where you are, young lady. Now let me see. One, two, three, four. Snooks, what happened to that fifth squab?
I don't know. Maybe he ran off.
Ran off? And what's the gravy doing on your chin?
There's gravy on my chin?
Yes.
The nerve of that squab. Why, he must have run across my face making his getaway.
Now, Snooks, we're going to have no more of this fibbing. Now, you're going to be punished for this and good. No money for movies on Saturday and no allowance for candy.
I don't care. I got 60 cents, see?
Why, Snooks, where did you get all that money?
From Daddy for keeping a secret from you.
Keeping a secret from me? You tell me what it is this minute. You hear me? This very minute.
No. I took 60 cents from Daddy, and I won't break my promise.
All right, I'll give you 60 cents, too.
I won't.
70 cents.
No.
All right, a whole dollar.
Mommy, are you forgetting my promise?
No.
Well, I am.
All right. Now, let's hear the bad news. What did he do?
Well, I saw him and Miss Cornwall kissing and...
Kissing?
Oh, but it wasn't his fault.
Oh,
he
was a fool I was. I invited that woman here. Imagine, I'm practically asking that woman to break up my home. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Well, you could pay up that dollar you owe me.
Oh, what a fool I was. Oh, what a fool.
Gee, she seems upset about something.
Hello, Vera. Where's Lila?
She left. She was called home suddenly.
Oh, really? Who called her?
I did.
Huh?
Yes, I really did it for you, though, Lancelot. I know how tired you are when you get home from work at night, and then to have to kiss the both of us.
Kiss the both? Oh, my gosh. Snooks' nose must have leaked. Look, Vera, I can explain the whole thing.
And I don't want to hear it. Do you hear me? I'm through. Take that!
Vera, tell me something.
What?
Before our marriage, did you ever box professionally?
Oh, Lancelot Higgins, get out of my sight!
Kunkel, forget about our being neighbors. All I want now is your opinion as a lawyer. I think my wife's leaving me. What do I do?
Well, my experience tells me that she'll undoubtedly change her mind and stay. Therefore, there's only one thing to do in the meanwhile.
What's that?
To celebrate while the news is still good.
Oh, stop being funny. I happen to love my wife, and I think she's serious. Look, Kunkel, how can I get her to listen to reason?
Well, a kid can always bring two parents together. Why don't you get Snooks to help you work on Vera's emotions?
Snooks? Why, that little monster's the cause of all this.
Oh, you just don't know how to handle it. You should apply psychology. That's what I do with my son, Harvey. He's got a good little mind, and I appeal to it.
Well, what if it doesn't work when you appeal to his mind?
Well, then I still apply psychology. Only a little bit harder and a little bit further down. He's got a good little bottom, too.
Oh, nothing ever seems to work with Snooks. Why did I ever have children anyway?
Oh, come now, Higgins. All of us sooner or later get the urge to have little ones running around the house.
If I ever get that urge again, I'm going out and buy some mice.
Now, wait a minute, Higgins. There must be some way of appealing to Snooks.
Wait, there is. The kid's on a big money kick right now. I'll offer her a dollar to help me get Vera back again. See you later, Kunkel.
Good luck, Higgins.
All right, Snooks. Let's go in and don't forget what we rehearsed. Now, pour it on.
I will, Daddy.
Oh, Vera. Vera.
Leave me alone, dear. I never want to see you again.
But I just came to say goodbye to you and Snooks. That's all.
Goodbye?
Yes. I'm going. As you want me to.
Oh, Daddy, don't go. Don't leave me. I need you. Mommy, don't let my daddy go.
Well, I...
She's weakening, Snooks. Keep it up.
Oh, Mommy, don't let Daddy go. A child needs a father. I will grow up wild with no father to guide me, to keep me from playing hooky, to make me do what's right, to... Say, why don't we let him go? Oh, yeah. Please, Mommy, I love Daddy, and you love Daddy, and even Daddy loves Daddy.
Brother.
No, Daddy.
Oh, Vera. Let's stop being silly. Let's kiss and make up.
Well, I...
Oh, come on, darling.
All right, Lancelot. All right, dear.
Hello, Mr. Conkle.
Oh, hello, sir.
The old money I got for getting Mommy to take my Daddy back.
Wow, $2. Say, you drive a hard bargain. Your daddy told me he was only going to give you $1.
He did. The other one's for Mommy.
Mummy, what for?
For getting Daddy to come around to be taken back. Yeah.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.